going, and I know that, I think it might even still say it on our website. At one time, when I was writing kind of what the Oasis Church is about, I put a little line in there that says, I don't believe that you should leave a church service with your head hanging down feeling like a sorry sinner. And I still to this day believe that I just think you should be encouraged and uplifted. It's one out of all the things that happen in the world and all the life that goes on around us that it's so nice to have at least one place. Pam used to call it her happy place, a place where you can go and be refreshed, where you can kind of set the world aside, work aside, all the things, hopefully for just a few minutes at least, and be refreshed in your faith and be encouraged in your walk with God, that you don't have to be a down and outer, okay, where you're just put down all the time or feeling that way, that you're going to, and I believe that by the end of this morning that you will be thoroughly encouraged again, that you are somebody and that God made you somebody, and that, you know, like the VeggieTale says, God made you special. Okay, and very unique in that sense. And so we're going to press into some of that this morning as we jump into God's Word. But let's start with some prayer this morning. Father God, we are grateful to be in your presence. We're grateful to be a part of the family, God. We're grateful to be here with you and your people. And Father, I pray that your Spirit moves upon our hearts this morning, that it's beyond just words on a page or words being spoken by me, that it is your Spirit that touches and ministers on the hearts, that Holy Spirit, that you rule and reign in our hearts, that we are yielded to you as a vessel that says, make some changes if you need to, but just take me deeper, further, and farther with you than I've ever been. And Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for cutting through and showing us some real truth about life. Lord, we trust you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. So here's the message. People Skills 101. Okay, and I think I might have told some of you that I was starting a new series, and it's going to be on people skills. Okay, and this one, I think I'll probably have like this one a little title behind it to kind of give you an indication of, you know, if you go back, they're all on the website and online and other places, Facebook Live and those kind of things. So if you go back and you want to think, what was that one where Pastor talked about? Okay, so it got a little title behind it on Adam and Eve, because you'll hear their names quite a bit this morning. I said before the service we'd look at kind of their relationship, and kind of that's the first one on the planet, so might as well look at it and see what did God have in mind for that. And so we'll get into that in a little bit. Why teach a series on in church, especially on people skills? Okay, don't we go to church to learn about God? Okay, but the reality is that God and people go together very, very detailed, okay, very intricately. It seems like maybe even a topic dealing specifically with relationships would be something more like maybe get in a sales school. I went through sales school when I was in college yet. Sold books door to door in the East Coast and did some of that. We had to stop in Nashville for a week and go through this intense sales training. And part of that, what they taught us was people skills. Because if you can't deal with people in sales, you're not going to make sales, right? Okay. And another place you might hear some of it would be maybe an employer would teach people skills to some of their employees, because, you know, if you got a rude cashier or you got a, you know, whatever it is, in whatever position, if they can't deal with people and be able to resolve a little conflict, it's not going to go as well as it could have. And so employers like to teach on that, and I've been through that and actually taught some as an employer. Another place you might hear people skills, okay, would be in maybe even on a college campus in one of the small groups or something. And I recall when I was a freshman in college, won't remind you what year it was, but a long time ago, and as a freshman in college, one of the first, wasn't even a class, it was just like they came around to the dorm, you remember RA, resident assistants, that kind of, you know, took care of the floor or whatever, and they went around door to door, and they told each of us that first night that here's a thing going on tonight that you all need to be there, okay, as an incoming freshman. And so we all went to this, I think it was freshman orientation, and part of that, they made us take the colors personality test, okay, which kind of labels you with a color, either blue, orange, red, yellow, or green. Okay, I think of the colors. And as you come out of that, then you can kind of understand yourself and understand people better. And the idea of the RA was that it was trying to help the people on that floor get along so they wouldn't have problems to deal with all year long, kind of thing. And so it was another one of those places where you learn a lot about people skills, okay, a personality test. When I was praying to God about relevant topics for the body of Christ for today, okay, and I say for today, okay, because there's so much going on around us that, you know, we had hoped last night My son had told us that, Dad, there's a football game on, a college football game. Okay, we're boycotting NFL and all that stuff right now, but there's a college game on. And I said, oh, awesome, who's playing? You know, is it whatever, Penn State against Alabama, or who is it? Oh, no, and he named these two teams, and I kid you not, I could not tell you who they are. That's how small the schools they were. Austin Peay? Peay? Austin PA versus Central Arkansas. Okay, so they're pretty small schools. Okay, and so the thing was, we decided we're going to, yes, let's tune in, 7 o'clock. That's what sports were for. It is for just a little bit of entertainment, kind of get your mind off of, you know, the rest of life for a little bit. And unfortunately, they brought some of the rest of life into the game, and it was such a disappointment. So I'm trying not to do that so much with you guys in a service, but as I was praying about relevant topics that the body of Christ needs to hear today, it has a lot with the voice that I heard very clearly was that people are not handling the stress and the pressure and the anxiety very well right now. And so I needed something, God said, that would help to encourage people with people skills. Okay, and it's pretty obvious that people, if you look out around you in the news or whatever, people are not dealing with people very well right now. They're kind of up with their own concepts and trying to force it on other people or vice versa, just things happening right now. I think I can look with the Holy Spirit's gift of discernment, okay, one of the gifts he's given us, and we can look out at the world and we can have an understanding of why the world acts the way that they do. If you see it in a spiritual sense, you understand there's a spiritual forces at play behind all this. Okay, but when I look at the church, okay, the body of Christ, and I see people being just as self-centered, okay, maybe just as rude, just as obnoxious, and maybe even just as outright mean and nasty as to one another as the world is, it became pretty apparent that the body of Christ could probably use a pretty solid refresher course on how to deal with people, okay, relational stuff, skills on being able to interact with one another. Now, I'm not picking on anybody in this church in particular. In fact, some of you might probably think, oh, great, he wrote a message about me. But it's not so much you guys. I honestly, this is out of 25, 26 years of ministry, I don't think I've ever seen a church that is as cohesive and compatible as this church family is. It just seems to work together, and if people don't want to work together, they leave independently or voluntarily kind of thing. And so it's just been a wonderful, wonderful thing to see. Although I would have to admit that I'm kind of secretly hoping that some of those people that were rude and obnoxious and critical that left on their own, that might tune in online and pick up a few people skills, okay? Might as well get a little bit as even if you're not here, right? Okay, so I've said for years of pastoring that life is about God and, anybody fill that in? My wife says people, okay? Because that's the correct answer. She's been with me the longest, obviously. Life is about God and people, okay? And I truly believe that. I believe that we will deal with all sorts of other circumstances in life, things that will involve animals and pets or inanimate objects or finances or whatever it is. But when it really comes down to succeeding in the Christian life, how you relate to God and how you relate to people is going to play a tremendous role in that. I don't believe that you can separate the two, God and people. God made people, right? We get that part. And so there's something that is so intertwined between God and people that we need to understand that in order to be able to really relate to people. So as we kind of get started with this, I want to talk some about people skills. I want to start by taking a step back in time and looking at things from God's perspective way back in the beginning. Okay, way back when he created Adam and Eve. What was he doing? What was he thinking? What was the process behind that? Since God created human beings along with everything else, and we know that God is very intentional, okay, God doesn't do things for no reason. He has an intention, a purpose for what he does. I think it would make sense to look at why he created Eve and not just Adam. Okay, why did he create more than one? I mean, he could have had all these things and going on from there. But let's look at Genesis chapter 2 to get started. We'll start with verse 18 and read through 20. Okay, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, has to do with the creation. God had created all the heavens and the earth and the animals and the seas and skies and trees and all the things. And here in chapter 2, it tells us in Genesis 2:18, it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him.' And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him." Okay? At this point, there was not an helpmeet, not a suitable companion is another way to say that. Some versions will literally say that. There was not a suitable companion for Adam. God did not intend, though, for Adam to be alone. God is into good, right? It is not good for Adam to be alone. So God said, we need to create a suitable companion or a helpmeet for him. He designed mankind, in other words, to need others. Okay, that's where the loner, the one that can't, you know, doesn't like people. You ever met somebody who doesn't like people? I had somebody tell me that the other day. I don't like people, so that's why I don't do stuff like that. But the reality is God created us to need people, okay, to need others. He made animals, he made every living creature, and yet there was still not a suitable companion for Adam, so God finished his creative plan, and he created another human being for the first human relationship on earth to ever be developed. Okay, let's read that. The next verse, 21 in Genesis, says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" Hey, I might have told this story before, but many years ago I had a coworker. He was an older gentleman, I think in his mid to upper 80s. I think he was 85, 86, right in there. He's an older guy. And he used to love to tell the story of creation in his own kind of terms, his own language. Okay, and he would tell how the woman got her title as woman. And he'd say something like this. He'd say, "God made Adam out of the dirt. And then he knocked old Adam up upon the side of the head and knocked him out. And he took one of his ribs and he made Eve. And when Adam woke up and he saw her, he said, 'Whoa, man, thanks, God.'" And that is how the woman got her title as the Whoa Man, right? Okay, not only did God make more than one human being, okay, but he created them as male and female, if you know the story. Okay, there's a little verse, I didn't put it in there, but God created them, male and female created he them, it says in the King James language. He specifically, in other words, built the male and the female with everything that they needed to be fruitful and multiply, which was one of the first instructions that God ever gave to mankind. Okay, let's skip ahead a little bit to chapter 4, the first couple verses in that chapter, and we'll see the story of Adam and Eve coming together. Genesis 4:1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, 'I have gotten a man from the Lord.' And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Okay, now we can understand a whole lot just by about relationships just by looking at the first few people. I'm going to look at the first four today that ever lived on the planet. Okay, Adam, it says, knew his wife Eve, or knew Eve his wife. Okay, that word knew, if you look it up in the Hebrew, and I did, It has one of the longest definitions in the Hebrew of any single word that I have looked up in a Strong's Concordance. The word Adam knew Eve, his wife. Okay, that word knew is so complex. It is such a profound word that it seems to sort of go on and on and on, describing everything from seeing to perceiving to understanding to acknowledging to considering to having respect for. Okay, it just goes on and on and on. All of those are literally words that are in that definition. And nowhere in that definition does it ever refer to or even imply the physical touching that's involved in procreation and multiplying. Okay, so it says that Adam knew his wife. The very next word says, and she conceived. Okay, so something led up to that conceiving, and it was the knowing part. I used to think that, and the guy that led me to Christ asked him, what does that mean? Adam knew her, and he gave me the definition from a different angle. Okay, meaning that it was more sexual in relationship. Okay, but when you really look into what it meant, there's actually a semicolon after the word wife. Okay, and that means that he knew Eve, and then she conceived. Okay, so when you think about all that was involved, when Adam knew his wife Eve, up to and apparently including the actions that led to conception, it stresses the point that there should be a whole lot of getting to know each other that takes place before the procreating part is ever engaged in. Okay, that word knew is in there as on purpose. God put it in there that said all these things should be taking place in that relationship before they ever get to and she conceived. Okay, from the very first human relationship to ever be on earth, we find that God intended for human beings to treat each other with compassion, to have understanding, to literally acknowledge and see and understand and respect one another. God wants his creation, in other words, to get to know each other. Okay? And for the male and the female, the husband and wife, it can eventually lead all the way up to that point of intimacy. You also notice from the scripture that the initial four people on the earth were all very different. Adam was a boy. Eve was obviously a girl. And the first two sons that they had were not twins with identical personalities and purposes in life. It says Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Okay. One was a rancher, in other words, and one was a farmer. Anybody ever watch the old westerns anymore? There's still a few out there. Ever hear of a range war? Okay, range wars were the thing back then. They made a lot of movies about them, at least. And there was some, Johnson County and other stuff, describe them. But it was a lot to do with the farmer versus the rancher. Okay, the guys wanting to till the land or whatever, and then the other guys would bring in the cattle, and they would try to, they just didn't go together that well. And so there was always this battle. So I think from the beginning, there was going to be something between Cain and Abel. We're going to talk about them next week. Okay, but from that, from the very first people that ever came into the earth, from the very beginning with Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, one's a rancher, one's a farmer, from that very beginning until now, God has continuously brought different, unique kinds of people into this world. Okay, Abel and Cain's ideas for what to do with their life were distinctly their own. God didn't make them to learn a certain trade or to go in a particular direction. If you think about what they brought to the table, literally, both of their ways of thinking were crucial for a well-balanced meal. Okay, I grew up in South Dakota, farming and ranching. We did both. And I became what I would consider to be a sort of a meat and potato kind of guy, right? If you give me a choice, I get a green leafy salad over here or a juicy steak and some French fries, a homemade kind, you know, on this side, I'm going to choose that steak and potatoes. That's just I grew up, we ate a lot of steak and potatoes at our house. But if Abel and Cain were exactly the same, all there would have been was meat. Okay, there would not have even been any potatoes. Okay, if they both were, you know, into the raising of the meat. Okay, they each brought something very special to the table, in other words. And I'm hoping that as I say that, you can sort of read between the lines a little bit and realize that God made you to bring something very special to the table as well. You are not bringing the same thing to the table that the people sitting around you are. Okay, that is something that God did with you and I. Whether you're part of your own family, okay, if you're part of the church, as you're part in this world, you were brought into it specifically and strategically by God to add something to this world. Okay, that makes you pretty special. It means that you are unique. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says that now has God set members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Okay, pointing to that union that happens when each brings their hand, the foot, the eye, the mouth, all into the body of Christ. We are not all the same. Okay, no one, not one single person, think about this, not one single person on this planet out of the almost 7 billion that are currently on the earth, nor out of the 6 or 7 billion that have already died and passed on from the earth. None of them that have come and gone from this earth thinks or thought just the same as you. You are that unique. 14 billion people, and you're that special. Amen. You bring it. You've got something that God only put into you. Your thinking, your way of dealing with life is you. Okay? Now, I know that the media and maybe social media, Facebook and Twitter, some of those in particular, clubs, okay, even the church, do their best to gather like-minded people together. But even within those groups, there is no one that thinks exactly like you. There's a campaign going on right now on social media to try to get you to think that everybody in your circle thinks exactly like you do. And it's doing a pretty good job trying to mesh and morph all that together so that there's only one train of thought. But God created you individually to think your own thoughts, to think things through, to have your own belief system, and to not be just morphed into one group. It's happening with the mob mentality. That's what that is people have been morphed into thinking along one particular line, and they're doing it without individually thinking about what they're doing. Now, I also want to say that like there is no one that is exactly like you, you are also not exactly like anyone else. Okay, and I say it that way because when you look around, you will not find one person on the planet that thinks just like you think. They don't think like you do, but guess what? You don't think like they do. Okay? And I'm bringing that up because one of the main conflicts that arises in a relationship is because people think that others should think and act exactly like they do. And often, they will go to great lengths to try to force or to make people think and act a certain way, and it will inevitably lead to some frustration. Okay, it's going to lead to conflict. It's going to lead to feelings getting hurt. People were created by God to be individual thinkers. So when somebody tries to control you or tries to manipulate, it leads to tension. It builds up. How many of you have ever heard that no two fingerprints are the same? Okay, probably everybody, we look at your own fingers, they're not the same. How about snowflakes? Kind of the same deal. No two snowflakes are the same, right? There's probably some that are similar, but God created them a little bit different. Well, whether it's fingerprints, snowflakes, or people, every one of them is uniquely made by God himself. Okay, that was part of his plan. And he had a good reason for it. The God that does nothing for nothing, okay, no reason. He had a good reason for why he made you the particular way that he did. If you understand that, you will not be so offended by people that are different, because you realize that it's okay for them to be different because God made them that way. God made them different than me on purpose. This morning, I kind of want to wrap things up with this train of thought. Not only did God make other people different and unique, but when you learn to embrace your own uniqueness, who God created you to be, it'll give you the courage to live your life the way God intended for you. It'll help you to be who you are in Christ. Okay? In other words, stop trying to be somebody else. Okay? And stop trying to make everyone else be just like you. Okay? This is one of the first things that we have to grasp in order to get to a genuine and peaceful and rewarding relationship here on this earth. Learn to love who God made you to be. Okay, you were made in the image of God Himself by God Himself. Okay, you were not made with a bunch of flaws for you or somebody else to go about fixing. Okay, God made you who you are. You were made with a special something that only you can bring to the table. Okay, whether it was Cain and Abel with the sheep and the vegetables, they brought something to the table. And I'm going to talk about that next week, what happened with Cain. Okay, same thing that we deal with every day in life about rejection and wanting to be valued and some of those things. Okay, but for them, they brought something special, unique to that table, and that's the way that God had made them. You know, when Adam looked at Eve and he said, "Whoa, man," it wasn't because she was exactly like him. It was because there was something familiar about her, and yet there was something unfamiliar about her. And Adam looked at her and knew in his heart that this was going to be the beginning of a lifetime of becoming acquainted with one another, getting to know each other. This is like me, somebody I can relate to, somebody I can talk to, but there's something special, unique, and different about her. That's what was going through his mind. That's what creates a good relationship. When you make a judgment before you even see them, okay, you won't get to that point of, I want to get to know this person. Okay, understanding where people are coming from helps us in every area of our life. And I believe the more that we see that life is truly about God and people, okay, and we begin to see how they are intertwined, our people skills are just going to get better and better and better. God made them special just like He made me special. God did something on purpose, and I can acknowledge that because I trust God. Okay, it will help us in every area of our life. Amen. I'm going to end with that. Father, we're going to praise You this morning and thank You that You have done what You did in each of our lives, Lord. You not only made us special, but then You sent Jesus, making Him special, to do and to carry out, to follow through on every complete word that You gave for Him to do. And Lord, as He did that, it ensured that we now have this relationship with You, that we can acknowledge You and trust You and believe on You in every area of our life. And Lord, I pray that as we go forth through our week this week, that we had our hearts touched a little bit, Lord, that we understand that other people may be different, but that You made them different. And that, Lord, that we can encourage them, we can get to know them, we can open ourselves up and let them get to know us. And that, Lord, eventually those relationships will be built that are best in Your eyes. Lord, we're trusting You this morning, thanking You for who we are, thanking You for making us the way we are, thanking You for helping us to grow and to continue to thrive in life. And Lord, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. We say, amen. Amen and amen.